Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, even though Dan and I weren't here yesterday, and that was completely my fault, the new blog did still go up at sportstimeradio.com yesterday morning. So swing on over there, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is, come on, you know this by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Now, did I see, Dan, was it our... kind of our anniversary yesterday? Is
holy
that what
cow.
Popped up on my Facebook page? Have we really been doing this for 11 years?
No. It was since 2011. No, 2012. I didn't get a notification.
Oh.
Except for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it came up as a birthday thing, because I'm guessing... you know, I'm assuming you set it up, so you must have thrown it in as that. And, yeah, it was just kind of, I was like, wait, was it really? Has it really been that long? So I guess happy birthday to us.
Yeah, it's definitely been at least since 2012, no? Because, I mean, that was the first year we did our baseball picks.
Yeah, it's funny here because it says April 1st, 2000, which means we've been doing it for 20 years. And I don't think we've been doing it for that long. So,
well, you know, the other thing is when I created the, you know, before they really had the pages, I created a Facebook account, and you had to be 13 years old.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, I was like, oh, okay. So one way, it was our anniversary. Who knows how many years it's been, but at least eight, maybe more. But you know, one of these days, maybe we'll figure it out. I wonder if we can go back in the blog talk archives and see when the first one actually was. So,
probably.
You know.
Well, you know, you just figure I created it at 13 years old, so it's probably 7 years now.
So, yeah, it's, well, whatever it is, it's been a while. But, all right, so, like I said, happy anniversary to you and I. The only two guys who managed to stick it out. We lost Mr. Fantasy someone along the road, and at least Stu joined in. So we've got that going for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had
an
opportunity to add another host, but he was mad at you because you didn't ask him from day one.
Wait, which one? Who was that? I forgot.
I don't remember.
I was going to say, I can't remember who, you know, there's so many people who get mad at me that I lose track of who they all were over the years. But anyways, enough of that crap. I did see something, and I'm going to, you know, put this in as sports related because, let's face it, there isn't much going on. So I'm going to go back to wrestling here, Dan. And I don't know if you caught this one, but this would be kind of... I guess it would be kind of a big story if it actually happens. WWE actually announced that they're considering, after WrestleMania, which is this weekend, it's two nights, Saturday and Sunday, they're considering shutting down. Because as you know, their training center or NXT or whatever it is that's run is in Florida. And now that Orlando has, you know, they have the stay-at-home order through that state as well, or shelter-in-place, whatever each state is calling it. So, yeah, they're considering not putting out any more new programming. You know, one of their big things was the fact that they always bragged about how they were, you know, a weekly nonstop entity. Even though you and I had the joke the other time about how they said this was the season finale or the season premiere, you know, crap
yeah.
like that. Do you think this is something they might do? And, you know, would it be looked at as a big deal if they actually did kind of shut down?
I don't think it would be a big deal. I mean, for history and, you know, novelty and all that, while the Simpsons are the longest running, whatever you call it, you know, WWE is obviously the longest running consistent. You know, I don't remember, geez, what was the early 90s when Raw started? So, you know, I forget the actual number, but, you know, I mean, it goes back to what, 90s, I don't know if it's 95, 6, 7, 8, but, you know, somewhere in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, and you figure, let's just say, you know, let's just go from 2000, that's 20 years for Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. You know, take how you want it because it was never live. But for Raw, that's 20 years, 20 plus years, every week, nonstop. The only time they took off was when someone died, right? You know, because Chris Benoit's situation, they still ran a show. They actually had
yeah.
a tribute that Monday night. You know, Eddie Guerrero, I think, may have been one where they didn't. You know, I don't remember looking back as much. There, you know, there was a couple instances where they may have taken one night off here or there or, you know, pushed it. But, I mean, I was actually thinking that the other day. They might as well run through WrestleMania this weekend and seriously shut it down. Because, like you said, I mean, this show, it sucks without the crowd.
Yeah, it's very odd how much better the new Fed that AEW is handling not having a crowd than Raw is. You know, the WWE product has really suffered without fans, you know, in the stands where, you know, AEW for some reason, I mean, I don't know if maybe it's because they're new and their guys are trying to prove something, but, you know, these guys aren't phoning it in. You know, I mean, like last night I saw the opener. They had a match. It was Kenny Omega, who I've heard a lot about for years, but I never really got to see wrestle, against Trent. He only goes by one name. He's in a tag team. Used to be in the WWE. I think he was Trent Beretta back then, but never really did much. They went 18 or 19 minutes and just had an incredibly physical, fantastic match, basically in front of the other wrestlers who were on the show, because AEW sprinkles them around the ring. So you get a little bit of reaction with guys playing their characters, and it's weird how much more that adds instead of, you know, like WWE ran NXT last night where it's just the announcers talking about what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, WWE yeah. has the very high-end kind of attitude, no?
And I did find it here. The very first Raw aired January 11th, 1993.
Oh, wow. It was earlier than I thought.
So that's when it all got up and started. And, yeah, you know, now I know every show hasn't been live. I mean, there were a time where they were taping programs back in the day before, you know, basically before they put WCW out of business. You know, they would show some taped shows from time to time, but, you know, it was new content. You know, this would be the first time since then that they wouldn't have a show without some kind of new content on it. So, you know, we're talking, what, 17 years?
Mm-hmm.
You know, once a week for 17 years. I know SmackDown has had some breaks where it was off TV looking for a new network. But Raw has been a consistent, you know, one show, you know, every Monday night since January 11th, 1993. So, yeah, it would, you know, it would be, you know, like I said, maybe, you know, maybe not a huge deal, but it definitely would be, you know, something there to kind of end that streak. But yeah, I don't know. You know, just something that kind of popped out to me, and I was like, oh, okay, wait a second. You know, this is you know, this is definitely a, you know, something to look at. I mean, you know, now I know I'm not planning on it, but are you going to partake in WrestleMania viewing, or are you like me?
Oh man, you have a bad memory.
I know I do. You know I'm old. So
yeah. I don't have the network, and I'm not.
Well, you could get it.
Yeah, I won't really watch it. So, you know, after watching some of the program, like this Weirdos Funhouse on SmackDown the other night, I was like, God, this. Oh my! You know, I can't watch it. You know, I mean, you know, WWE is almost reminds me of, you know, I mean, why not let Disney purchase them so they can stream it on Disney Plus?
Well, you know, that might happen. You know, I mean, they're still in the market, you know, looking for someone to work with. So maybe, you know, maybe you'll get your, you know, you'll get your wish there, and Disney will pick it up, and then you can watch it there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really don't have any interest in it, so I won't be partaking in WrestleMania. You know, the thing that killed me is I turned it on, and it just looks like if they don't have the old guys, they have guys that replicate the old guys. And I don't mean old as an age, but even though, yeah, technically Chris Jericho's old, and I know he's on one of the other shows. I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
But WWE has his lookalike. You know, a young, I'm assuming 20-something kid, long hair. He emulates his old style, like, to the same. I'm like, I don't know. I guess if you just create the template and then, you know, Chris Jericho's character and then he's gone, you just bring someone in who looks kind of like he did 20 years ago, then it all works out, you know. So, I don't know. But
I
the other night caught a little bit of the Royal Rumble that was being shown on FS1. And I guess it opened up with Brock Lesnar destroying everybody that came in. So that was really exciting to watch.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you won't be surprised, but yeah, they're doing some of their lowest ratings in history. I guess Monday night show, and you know this is leading into WrestleMania. You know, Monday night show was just terrible rating wise, and you know they have one more shot tomorrow. But you know, I think the one thing I did see is they're going to—I don't know how they're going to do it or which way they're going to work around. I don't know if they've got an angle set up or if they're just going to tell the truth. But they've got to figure out how to explain that Roman Reigns, who is the biggest star in the company, won't be on either of the WrestleMania shows. You know, as I think we mentioned before here, you know, he's had two battles with leukemia, so he didn't want to do the taping for fear of getting sick, which I can understand. I mean, he's a husband and a father, and, you know, you don't, you know, in his situation with a weakened immune system, you don't want to take that up, you know, that chance. But yeah, apparently, whatever they taped, because tomorrow's show is taped, there's going to be an explanation on why we won't be seeing him. So I am kind of curious to see which way they go, because I don't know if you remember when he had his second battle with leukemia. He actually just came out and admitted it in the ring and surrendered. He was the heavyweight champ at the time, I believe, and just surrendered the title. But I don't know if they'll do something like that again or how they'll go about it. So I guess we'll have to see tomorrow what they do.
Yeah, well, I mean, isn't it you know, like you said, are they going to admit the truth? But it's 2020. I mean, how do you not, you know, we got this information like the day it came out. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the funny thing, I mean, with all the leaks and everything, everybody already knows he didn't wrestle. You know, everybody knows
yeah.
the show has been taped. I'm still hugely surprised that none of the results have leaked. You know, that's still a shock to me that we haven't heard anything. But, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody knows and everybody knows why. So I don't know why they just wouldn't give him the mic and let him lay it out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he shouldn't be there. He should be at home. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, they could take it from home. You know, he could do the Skype thing or the tape thing or whatever, you know, to give his explanation. So, but, yeah, that was, you know, that was the one thing I was curious on about, you know, what they'll do tomorrow. Otherwise, I just, you know, I'm not paying, you know, to buy it on your cable system, it's, you know, almost $40. And, you know, I guess you could sign up for the network and get it for free, but then how long do you have to keep the network after that?
I think if you just cancel it right away, it's not like they're going to.
And, you know, I was going to say that. You know, I guess if you're really interested, you could do that. But, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested, so.
So, well, you know, Dan, you know, again, we're, you know, we're kind of stuck in the position of, you know, the only thing really going on is football. And I did seem to notice that even though he's now officially a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, everybody still likes to talk about Tom Brady. And I thought it was kind of humorous today that it made news the fact that Brady is going to lease Derek Jeter's waterfront home on Davis Island. In this article here, it's described as a mansion. And I think I did see it's 9 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms.
Ooh, is that a downgrade from his Boston home or his mansion?
They are just leasing it. So I guess, you know, they might have to suffer – you know, just to, you know, just to get by there. So, yeah, they say it's 30,000 plus square feet. It's located right outside downtown Tampa, so it's a short drive for him. What do they have here? Sits on 3 lots, 7 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, so I had that backwards. Entertainment and billiard rooms, an elevator, swimming pool, fountain, boat dock, and an 8-foot security gate. So there you go. So I don't know why you didn't buy a house like that when you and your wife moved, but hey, that's I guess that's between you guys, right? So.
Well, you know, the taxes down in Florida, you know, we have a friend that moved down there and the, you know, $200,000 house that they could barely afford here turned into building a brand new mini mansion down in Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, lucky for you and I, you know, we do live in, you know, one of the most taxed states, I believe, anywhere in America. So we've got that going for us.
Yeah, where our governor's a billionaire and doesn't pay income taxes on his homes because he takes
right.
the toilets out. So, yeah.
Yeah, he knows how to get out of those things. So mm-hmm. there you go. I was curious on how do they go to the bathroom, though, if all the toilets are gone. So, but,
know.
You know, that's a story for another day. I don't know. You think Tom Brady would let us stay with him?
No.
I mean, it's, you know, it's 7 bedrooms. He's only got a couple kids. I mean, they wouldn't even really notice that we were there, would they?
You never know.
So, you know, just one of those interesting things, I guess, we got to deal with. But, all right. They did have here also just some other quick NFL news. You know, the Titans hit Derrick Henry with the franchise tag. That was no surprise, considering he was the best running back in the NFL last year. And he did sign the agreement today. It's $10.2 million. So he, you know, he's not going to be one of these guys who are sitting out while he's under the franchise tag. He will be playing. You know, the lot of the, you know, catchphrases, you know, they're, you know, yeah, we're going to try to work out a long-term deal now and all that other kind of stuff that we hear when this happens. But, you know, Dan, I got to tell you, it's almost nice to see a guy sign his franchise tag instead of listening to him piss and moan about how he's underpaid, even though they're making, you know, multiple million dollars a year. So.
Yeah, he has no idea what underpaid means.
Yeah, so, you know, and I guess that brings kind of an interesting question with this situation. I'd like to get your opinion because I'm a clueless boob when it comes to these things. You know, this is really the first time, you know, America has went through something like this where, you know, we have a, you know, really a pandemic that's spread through every state and, you know, people are seem to be dying left and right if you listen to the media. Do you think maybe some of these athletes that are, you know, let's tell the truth, they're arrogant, you know, some of them are just, you know, flat out jerks. Do you think they're possibly going to realize something through all this or are we just going to get
no
business as normal from these jerk-offs?
I think you're going to get business as normal. I mean, you know, because you take a kid like Zion Williamson, and then, you know, even that kid who, for the Texans, that quarterback who played like three games and then was, like, you know, taken out of the game by somebody. You know, these young kids, I don't know what they came from, but you know, even if they came from the likes of you and I, you know, in that world, they came from nothing. So, you know, they've shown their gratitude, and not only that their willingness to just hand out, you know, not hand out, but help. And it's amazing to me that, you know, while the teams have done it, you know, kind of issued some help. I mean, really, you know, how many of these pro athletes have actually gone out and done anything? You know, who's chartered a plane to, you know, drop off freaking masks and gloves and all that crap to hospitals, you know what I mean? Or to help, you know, some of the employees that help hold up, you know, the stadium and make the experience. Because, you know, at the end of the day, out of, you know, 30,000 people that attend an NFL game, what would you say? Just the season ticket holders that get an opportunity to go on the field, and maybe the 50-100 fans that are by the, you know, the entrances for the players. Nobody really interacts with these players unless they're spending all that ridiculous amount of money to go to autograph signing. You know, they don't interact with them. It's everyone else at the park that makes the experience. So the fact that we're not really hearing about more of these guys going out and making contributions and helping the teams, you know, facilities out, I think it's pretty sad. And you can tell where their hearts are, I guess you could say.
They could go out and hand out toilet paper. Oh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but, you know, with the way things are, I wouldn't expect any single one of them to be going out there and handing stuff out, you know, and then bringing it home and, you know, maybe going, I don't know, you know, with the way the situation is, I don't expect them to be out there and about unless they, you know, happen to be some in the medical field and that's what their choice is to kind of get involved with that. But, you know, I don't think anything's going to change with a lot of these guys, though.
So yeah, because, you know, and that, I wonder, I doubt this even less, but, You know, I am curious because, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, we suffer from fan worship with these guys. You know, is it possible maybe a percentage of the fans realize that, you know, sports really isn't that important? Now, you know, I'm not to that point yet. I'm still insanely waiting for things to come back so I can start watching immediately, no matter what it is at this point. I would even probably watch an NBA game if they came back first. But do you think we'll see people have a different viewpoint? I mean, has yours changed, or, you know, where are you at?
No, I don't think I'll change any. I mean, over the years, I think, especially since we started the podcast, the whole fandom, and, you know, and then also being involved in pro wrestling while I maintained an indie circuit professional, as you could, I don't know if that's a high class name for it. You know, we did get to mix it up, and you more so than I, with, you know, the guys that headlined, you know, the WWEs and WCWs and, you know, all those companies that were national and worldwide product. So, you know, that's not an issue. Well, I guess that's what changed my outlook on everything, where, you know, I'm a Cubs fan, or, you know, even a Dodgers fan or Giants, but if you put me in a room with all of them, I wouldn't be sitting there drooling with a pen and a baseball trying to get everyone's autograph. You know, so that aspect of it will never change. I enjoy, you know, watching the games. But I'm also, you know, maybe it's because I'm not drinking alcohol, but I'm also not going to be the guy sitting at the game, you know, swearing at the bullpen for the visiting team, or, you know, yelling at so-and-so that you suck. And, you know, if I'm in a Cubs game and I happen to be sitting by the visitor's dugout, you know, one of the guys is close by and we, you know, just shoot the breeze or whatever, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, you suck. You're a Colorado, you're a Brewer. I hate you. You know, I'm going to be one of those guys. So I don't think people's fandom will change though.
I'd just wave at him and hope he waves back. And that would be all I would want. You know, as dumb as it sounds, I think it actually helps us that we got a little bit of what they would call a rub from guys who were incredibly famous at one point in time in their mm-hmm. in their lives. Probably not by the time we met them, because most of them were on the downward spiral when you and I crossed paths with them. But yeah, you know, at one point in time, you know, they were, you know, incredibly big stars, and I think that helps out when, you know, you meet these guys, because, yeah, I mean, I'm not fawning over, you know, Nick Foles if he walks in a room. And to be honest with you, if he walked in, I probably wouldn't even recognize him. You know, I probably, you know, Trubisky, I don't know how popular you are in Chicago. You know, you'd probably have to be pointed out to me, because you're just going to look like any other guy to me at this point in my life. So.
Well, I mean, you'd be thinking, look at this kid, you know, got a lot of Bears gear on. But, you know, even like you said, being able to, you know, rub shoulders with some of these, you know, guys that were super famous, you know, I think I got a little bit of the attitude from you, but I also learned just from talking to them that, you know, there's guys that I watched on TV, watched at, you know, the big venues, and then here I am standing next to them in a locker room and talking to them. Like, you know, and you really can't, and I've seen people make the mistake where they're like, oh, my God, I remember when you were on this show and you did this and you did that and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know, and then their eyes kind of, they kind of lose focus, and they're like, oh, you know, I thought I was in the locker room with my fellow associates, but here I am with a bunch of fans, you know. Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things that people forget is these guys are regular guys. And, you know, it was to the point where I remember being at a show with Jerry Lynn. I know you remember him. He's from Minnesota. And I'd love to tell you that he remembered me from, you know, years previous meeting him and hanging out with him, but I highly doubt it. But, cause you know, you guys, you know, you remember that first show you guys brought in Jerry Lynn, and, you know, everyone went through the line, shook his hand, said, hi, you know, how you doing? And then all of a sudden it's just me and him and everyone left. How was your flight? You know, how was the last show you were on? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 5-6 years later, I run into him again at another show, and we're outside because we're locked out of the building. It's one of those shows, you know, Big Jack promoter shows up with the star of the show, and nobody can get in the building, and we're all standing in the parking lot like a bunch of idiots. But, you know, I here I am talking to him, and every 5 minutes somebody that's on the wrestling show comes up to him, "Oh, my God, Jerry, I remember when you, you know, did this, did that." And like, yeah, thanks, you know, thanks for your support, thanks for watching. And then they'd walk away, he'd just look at me, and then we'd go back to talking about, you know, what regular life. And I'll never forget, I was leaving early, and I went and said goodbye to him. He's like, "Dude, you're leaving already?" I'm like, "I got to work. I have a real job, too. You know, I got $10 to come show up here today." So he's like, no, I understand." I'm like, "Thanks, you know, thanks for coming out." But even that, you know, the biggest name, aside from Ric Flair, was Kevin Nash. And it bothered me so much, because here we get in, you know, the biggest superstar, one of the biggest guys, you know, the NWO and the whole world. And he's traveled through the, you know, the indie circuit of Chicago amongst these other feds. And my entire locker room at the time was filled with a lot of kids. But the biggest kid of them all was a grown-ass man. I walked up to Kevin. I said, hey, nice to meet you. Thank you very much for coming out. You know, if you need anything, hopefully you remember my face. Just ask. I'll go get you something. You know, whatever. You know, food, drink, you know, whatever. And he's like, "Oh, thanks, bro." And then as I'm walking away, he's kind of just walking around. And, you know, the other grown man and about seven, you know, tweens, you know, teenagers into 20s are following him around drooling like the Pied Piper. And it was just so, it was just hilarious to me. And I'm like, "You guys, it's called professionalism. He wants to be treated like one of the boys. That's why he's in the locker room. And he's not off by himself hanging out somewhere else, you know." So I got some of that backroom stuff that people don't really get to hear about actually happens.
Yeah, that you know, I think that's the most difficult thing to learn when you're a wrestler, especially the younger you are, the harder it is. And, you know, I mean, like, I used to ingrain that into people's heads, you know, because, you know, what's you know, I mean, you think about it, if you're a baseball player or football player or basketball player, you know, I mean, if you meet, you know, you meet Michael Jordan, "Oh, my God, I remember the night you scored 60-whatever points against so-and-so." You think he remembers it? You know, he doesn't remember it play-by-play like you do.
Yeah.
You know, he might remember the game, but, you know, it goes – you go play by play, or, you know, pitch by pitch, or snap by snap. You know, these, you know, I mean, you know, they're going to be nice to you, and they're going to indulge you. They don't want to deal with that. You know, they would, you know, like the funniest story I had with Jerry Lynn, you mentioned, him and I were talking about music, and he explained to me how he was traveling with Lance Storm at the time. And his favorite thing to do was crank up, you know, heavy metal or death metal as, you know, as high as Storm would let him, because Storm hated it. And he would do it just to drive him nuts while Storm was driving. You know, now obviously that has nothing to do with wrestling. You know, Jerry Lynn's been a, you know, a relatively famous wrestler. Granted, you know, he's not a superstar. But, you know, general wrestling fans know him. And I believe he even got a mention on AEW Dynamite last night. His name came up during a match. You know, and that was just the thing. I mean, he didn't want to talk to me about, you know, when WCW had him put on a mask and they called him Mr. JL. You know, he wanted to talk to me about music. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and I learned that one with Brian Christopher, Jerry King Lawler's son. And, you know, he was just talking away, just kind of not really wrestling stuff, but just, you know, where he's traveled, where he's been, you know, kind of cool stuff. And then he brought up his dad and how much his dad was running shows back in whenever. And
yes.
I made the question about, you know, asking about his dad. And I mean, I think, you know, there were personal issues there. He just kind of shut down right there. So I just, you know, quickly changed the subject. And by the end of the night, you know, him and I were actually making, well, we were making jokes about, you know, there was whoever picked him up, you know, he kept calling him by the wrong name. I was like, "No, it's this." He's like, you know, but then, you know, that was the joke, him and I all night long. We're like, "Oh, you're looking for TJ. Yeah, you know, so, you know, we got along great. And, you know, if I would have known better, I'd have been like, hey, you know, here, I'll give you the ride. But, you know, that was pre-Google and Apple Maps, so I wouldn't have known where to take him.
Yeah. You know, the sad part is I'm actually old enough to have worked on some of those shows his father ran.
Wow.
Just frightening. No. Terribly, terribly frightening. But all right, enough of the good old days. I did see we had some, you know, what we obviously would describe as bad local news here. I don't know if you caught this one, but did you see that White Sox announcer Ed Farmer passed away?
Yeah, I did see that this morning.
So, yeah, he was, you know, he was 70 years old. Apparently he was in Los Angeles, and all they say is complications from an illness. You know, yeah, he was, wow, he was a White Sox broadcaster for, well, he was a former player, and then he actually started part-time with them in 1991, became full-time in 92, and has been with the team ever since as an announcer. So, you know, yeah, that's just a you know, gigantic run for him. You know, I mean, I guess you could say, you know, his playing career was, you know, adequate, I guess would be a way to describe it. You know, he was never... you know, never a Cy Young winner or anything like that, but I believe he was an all-star. He made an all-star team one time. Let me see if I can get his stats here. Yeah, he pitched 11 years in the majors. You know, he was 30-43 with a 4.30 ERA. Majority of time spent as a reliever. He did start 21 games. But he appeared in 370 lifetimes, so you can see where he spent most of his time. He, you know, he had 75 saves in his career, actually had 30 for the White Sox in 1980. So,
wow.
But, yeah, he pitched for, you know, how many? God, wow, quite a few different teams here. Philadelphia, Cleveland, the White Sox, Oakland, Texas, Detroit, Baltimore, and Milwaukee. Throughout his career, so yeah, he had a nice long career, and you know, again, was a broadcaster for just a huge. I didn't realize it was that long a time. Did you?
No, I had no clue.
So, but yeah, that was you know, kind of obviously sad news here in the. You know, our local Chicago area, and they haven't, you know, nobody's mentioned yet how he'll be replaced when baseball finally gets up and running again. You know, I know he was working with Darren Jackson in the booth. They were both kind of sharing play-by-play, which I always thought was kind of strange because I'm not used to former players doing play-by-play. But, mm-hmm. You know, they seem to handle it okay. And, you know, Dan is available if you need somebody to replace that. Even though it's the White Sox, Dan would still take the gig if you offered it to him.
I wouldn't even hesitate.
You could be the Jim DeShays of the Chicago White Sox. Oh, no, that would be the opposite. You'd be the Len Casper of the Chicago White Sox. Yeah, because it was kind of weird that I saw that this morning. Because last night I heard on the radio they were doing a thing about the greatest sports calls of all time, and I got a kick out of it because I was listening to the guy overnight, and for a minute I thought I was listening to you because somebody called in and brought up Hawk Harrelson, and he went on like literally a 5-minute rampage about how much he hates Hawk Harrelson. I thought, wait, is Dan hosting this show? What happened here? How did we get sidetracked here? But yeah, well, I got a kick out of that. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, before you talk about Hawk Harrelson, there's only one obvious call that can be the greatest sports call of all time. But I'll give you some time to think about it, and I'll let you talk about Hawk Harrelson because I know how much you love that guy.
Well, there's only the Yankees win. Yankees win. It's not that I hated him, but, you know, and this is where I'll lose my Cubs card, too. I could listen to Pat Hughes. Sometimes him and Coom do get a little ridiculous, but they're not too over the top. But, I mean, if the Cubs weren't doing good, my God, I don't know what was worse to listen to. Ron Santo when the Cubs aren't doing good, or the Hawk Harrelson when the White Sox are down 25-3 and, you know, somebody hit a one-run home run in the eighth inning and he's still going, and they put it on the bar. Like, okay, there's an appropriate time and place for that. When your team has more than a 5-6-run deficit, your gimmick should be played down. You don't have to pull your gimmick out every single time. And I think that's what drove me more nuts about Hawk Harrelson. It was not so much that he's a homer, because, you know, that was something I didn't realize until you actually brought it up, is the fact that we're losing that guy, you know, just because of the way, you know, sometimes if you don't really know the difference, I mean, go back in time. Chip Carey, Len Casper, Tom Brenneman. Don't they all kind of sound the same? Yeah, I don't know if they have a filter on the soundboards for when these guys go out, but they all kind of have the same sounding voice. So, you know, if you don't know any better, if you're not a guy like you or I who's, you know, been watching for the last 20 years and can turn on a game and go, oh, that's Tom Brenneman. And then, you know, finally Fox goes to the booth and you're like, oh, that is. Yeah, I was right. You know, you wouldn't know that, but that was the thing that drove me nuts about Hawk was, as JR would say, good old JR would say, he went to the well way one too many times. And that's what absolutely drove me nuts. It wasn't so much his broadcasting. It was just the fact that he had his catchphrases, and I think catchphrases are good. But he's just like Boomer when Boomer would host the Home Run Derby. You know, it was cool back when they first started, and ESPN had that, you know, that desk that made it look like it's an official news broadcast. And then, you know, Boomer would go through his thing of the week or however it went, and, you know, he's going through the rundown and, you know, oh, Nolan Ryan struck out 12 guys, but here's the one pitch, you know, and back, home run, you know. But when we're watching the Home Run Derby and all the guys are essentially doing one thing, that is hitting home runs, do we need the back every single time? No. I mean, it was so bad. You know, it was worse than a broken record, you know. So, and that's what killed me about the Hawk. Like I said, it's, you know, and they never showed Steve Stone's reaction, but in some of those instances, when the White Sox were down, I'm sure Steve was turned his head and rolling his eyes, because I would have been. But then again, listening to Steve Stone and Hawk Harrelson together, when Hawk was doing that, I highly doubt Steve would even turn his head to roll his eyes. He'd probably look at him and roll his eyes, because I heard them make comments back and forth. And I think for Hawk, the best thing to happen to him was Steve Stone coming in.
Well, the best thing to happen to any play-by-play guy is Steve Stone coming in with his baseball knowledge. I mean, he's easily one of the best in the game on that side. I mean, you know, I mean, you compare him to Jim DeShays, and DeShays looks like a clown. So,
Well, you know, DeShays only pitched about 10 years in Major League Baseball, but his lack of knowledge of any rules or anything would make you think he never played a game. But on the flip side for the Steve Stoners, there's guys like my dad who absolutely cannot stand him because he thinks he knows it all. Like, well, he
probably does. Yeah. There's very little that he doesn't know or, you know, and I mean, that's some of the stuff I like about him because, you know, he talks to you about setting up hitters. And, you know, if you can throw this here or this there, let this guy out. You know, those are the kind of things I like about the game when I'm watching a game or listening to a game. So, all But all right, Dan, I mentioned this to you earlier. Here it's the 10 greatest calls in American sports history. All right, this covers all sports. Now, oddly, looking at their list, I believe they're wrong. They actually have what should be number one is at number two. Because to me, the minute you say this, there's one thing that pops into my head immediately. And no, Dan, it's not the call of the Cubs winning the World Series, just so you know. But if you were to think, what's the greatest sports call that you've heard or, you know, you know about or you've watched on YouTube or wherever it is there one that stands out to you before I tell you what I think to be the greatest hero of all time?
No, unfortunately for me, I've never really, despite going to broadcasting school, I never really paid attention to the broadcasters.
Well, you know, the one that I just can't get over, and you actually watched the movie when we were doing Dan's Drive-In this year. I don't know if they had the call in it, but it comes from Miracle on Ice. And if you remember Al Michaels at the end of the game when the U.S. actually beats the Soviet Union in Lake Placid, he utters the words as the clock is running down, "Do you believe in miracles?" And that is easily the best sports call of all time, hands down. And I was shocked to see them having it at number two here. And number one is something that happened before even I was born, Dan. It was 1951, and I don't know if you've seen the grainy black and white tape on this one, but it's the one they call the shot heard round the world, where Bobby Thompson hits the home run off of Ralph Branca, and the guy just starts screaming, "The Giants win the pennant! The Giants win the pennant!" So... they're pretty interesting. Like the Cal Stanford play when the band is on the field is on the list. They have some I'm not sold on. They have the Bill Buckner one, you know, "Here Comes Night" and the Mets win it. The Willie Mays one, of course, the catch, which is, I believe it's actually Jack Brickhouse that calls it. And there's a long drive way back in the center field, way back. It is caught. And, you know, he just freaks out. So, that's obviously a fun one for us. They have the Jack Buck one from St. Louis, you know, "Let's Go Crazy" after, I believe it's Ozzie Smith hits the home run. The real famous one for boxing is Howard Cosell going, "Down goes Frazier, down goes Frazier." There's a Tiger Woods one in here, but I don't remember this one at all. They have the Tennessee Titans Motor City Miracle. And then number 10, they have the Michael Jordan shot that won the 1998 championship for the Bulls.
Yeah.
So that's their list. I went 1 through 10, not 10 through 1 like, you know, most people should have, but I still want the... You know, the Miracle on Ice should have been number one. That's just my opinion. But, you know, that's just how it goes. So, you know, the odd things that stick with me. But, you mentioned the Dodgers, Dan, and I did see, I haven't looked at it or anything yet, but I'm figuring you can check it out.
Give me one.
Stream their workouts for fans at home.
Oh, you mean like baseball workouts or weightlifting?
I'm looking at the article right now. It says we'll stream a 30-minute workout through the team's social media outlets for everyone to partake. They want to help fans stay in shape while they're stuck at home.
Oh, that's cool.
So I don't know if this is going to be the players or the trainer. Monday and Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific time, so that's what, 10 o'clock here?
Yeah. That's not a bad deal. I mean, that's thinking creative and keeping your fans engaged. Kind of bouncing back on the historical calls, as you put it, or whatever.
Yeah.
For me, my most memorable calls all come from Harry Carey. And it's not just the old Cubs win, you know, I mean, God forbid Ryan Dempster puts those glasses on one more time, because I think it's funny for 5 minutes, but I could punch him after 20 minutes straight of it. But I mean, for me, the classic calls were Harry just being Harry, as we put it, and, oh my God, it's out of here. And then his co-partner would be like, no, it was caught by the left fielder. It wasn't a home run. So, I mean, you know, if someone could find those, that would be classic Harry. I don't think they'd put that out there. But for me, those were the greatest days, because you can clearly see the ball falling out of the sky into left field. And Harry's, you know, already announcing that it's a home run and then has to retract it, you know. And then, of course, the greatest calls were not sports calls at all, were the downtime things where he'd get to flip somebody's name and, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe one of the players, he always pulled this out of nowhere and, you know, his name spelled backwards is this. And those were classically stupid, but they were funny if you weren't paying attention, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, the fun thing about Harry is after the sixth inning or so of every game, you just never know what the heck he was going to say.
Yeah.
You know, that was just part of the charm of Harry being Harry. And, you know, I don't think we'll probably never see an announcer like him again.
No.
I don't know. But, yeah, you know, that's just, you know, kind of how it goes. Well, you're going to check out the Dodger workout for us tomorrow at 10 o'clock and tell us what it's like?
Where are they streaming it on?
Let me go back and double check that for you. I know, I thought I saw their YouTube page.
Oh, okay.
But I will jump in here really quick and make sure I have the proper information coming. I'm actually surprised we haven't had any internet problems with the fact that probably everybody and their brother is on the internet right now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Appearing on the Dodgers YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter pages.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm sure you follow the Dodgers on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, I'll try to check it out. I'll still be working. So, for me, things have not slowed down at all. I'm sure just like you.
Yeah, nothing. I mean, you know, since my job is, as they say, considered essential, you know, nothing, you know, I'm one of those people who luckily haven't had any changes in their world. So, you know, I mean, luckily I'm off this week because it's supposed to be the first week of baseball, and I'm always off because I watch the games. But, you know, obviously didn't happen this week. But yeah, other than that, it's just been, you know, the same, it's going to be the same thing over and over for me, you know, starting Monday. You know, I'll be back at work at 3:15 in the morning, and you know, that's just how it goes for me. you know, I guess, you know, the way I look at it is in reality, you know, I'm kind of one of the lucky ones because I'm still getting a paycheck. And, you know, I don't know, I've heard some horror stories about people dealing with unemployment. So, you know, I could just imagine, you know, that headache, you know, so. But you know, that's the goofy situation we're in right now, and you know, hopefully it you know, clears up soon. Now, are you, you know, since they changed everything up, are you home until April 30th now?
Yeah, I'm home till whenever. So I'm sure everyone needs to know this, but my work was gracious enough to send me $200 gift card to Amazon. They felt it was better than to have us purchase and then, you know, submit it for expenses. So they just, it's funny though, because I know all this stuff comes down to taxes, you know, and accounting. So it's I'm sure with the President's Act that was put in, that kind of helped give the company the money, the funds to hand out $200 to probably 300 people. But I will say, Big Jack, if you know, you're using a laptop, I have to use a laptop, but I have my three monitors set up, and they're all in computer years, I think older than what a 10-year-old dog would be. So, you know, for instance, the one that I have, it still works. It came with my wife's computer that we bought her when she first started college back in 2005. So, yeah, so I have a 15-year-old monitor. But with that gift card, I did upgrade and bought two 24-inch monitors and Big Jack. The way they make these things today, the HDMI, 24-inch screen, I will go from three screens to two, and I will not have a problem. I don't know if there's any techies out there or gamers out there, but, I mean, if you're a gamer, I'm sure you definitely want to get a bigger one than maybe the 24, but, man, having these new monitors is a big change.
Yeah, I don't have that, so I'll have to see. Maybe next time. But that's good. Yeah, we're not getting anything special at work, at least not that I know of. So I'll see when we get back Monday if anything interesting has happened. But from, you know, I did get a text from the lady who's filling in to me and said, no, nothing's going on. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you know, and for me, I'm lucky enough that I'm in the healthcare industry, kind of indirectly, you know, so obviously that's not going anywhere, but I haven't talked to the people I used to work with, and I mean, I don't know what's going on. They were in workers' comp, and as you know, they're not going to court, so I don't know how negotiations and all that stuff is going, and if, you know, how they're being affected. So, but, you know, luckily, you know, for all of us who do orders, thank you, Big Jack, because I'm still able to get my monitors and all my good stuff that I get through Amazon. And, you know, everybody, I guess, that's still out there essential.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's people out there, doing what they have to do. I mean, you know, truck drivers, you know, we're still getting postal delivery, you can still get food from your favorite place if you really wanted. You just you got to pick it up or deliver it. So
yeah,
you know, you got those people out there. The grocery stores are just open. I was at one today, so you know, I know they're still open. It's just, you know, sadly we got to get through this, and you know, hopefully, you know, everybody makes it out on the other side, and you know, can come back and listen to us when we can actually, you know, fill the hour with all sports. Yeah. You know, get baseball to open up and we can talk about that, or, you know, see what the NBA do. But, Dan and I will keep trying to show up and, you know, keep you company for an hour a day. Now, Dan's off the wall, but I'm off with Combo Studio. We have 5 minutes, so come by me. I'm going to do a lot of work. First time radio.com, get over there, check out the while you're there, hit the link, follow it over to the Facebook page. If you've got a like, you're all the way over there. Don't forget the Twitter feed, it's just like that. That's a great video. Feel free to look Dan and up on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. We'll see you again. But hey, if you stop on this live, thanks for being able to do it. hand in front of all of them. If you miss the podcast, just head over to tunein.com and listen to whatever you want.
Sports Time Radio.